Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design.
Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast. I am so excited today. I've got someone on that I've been talking about a little bit, let's be honest, and she's finally here. So I really want to introduce all of you to my amazing human design mentor, Kim Gould. Hey, Kim, welcome.
Hi, Emma. Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Oh, it's so exciting to have you here. And I've been promising you to my listeners for a while. So this is the beginning of something awesome. I just know it.
Yes.
Beautiful. Now, Kim, first and foremost, tell us a little bit about you. Obviously, you've been doing human design for a long time.
Yeah.
So can you tell my listeners a bit about your human design journey and, you know, what makes you this incredible specialist now?
Thanks, Emma. So 2003, I was actually editing a journal, a magazine called Children of the New Earth, which was about indigo children way back then. It was an American magazine, and there was a little ad for human design in the magazine in the days when they used to actually send magazines out in the mail. And I just saw that little mandala and I thought, that's it. That's for me. Back in those days, there was very little internet, no Skype, no online education at all.
Wow. How did you do your body graph?
Well, I had a Mac and there was no way to do it on a Mac, so I had to do it by hand.
Oh, that's why you're so good at it, far out.
I had to do all the calculations by hand, color it in by hand.
Wow.
Until I could afford to get a Windows computer. You know, and then there was some basic software back then.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. So it was very different back then. And I actually was mentored by Zeno Dixon for quite a long time. And that was how I learned, because there were no courses to do when I started. So it was very individual to me. And I was given an incredibly technical, really deeply technical understanding of human design. And then I, built my own understanding on top of that. So, one of the things that I think has allowed me to do what I do is that the incredible depth of the understanding of how the chart's put together. And of course, like you say, you know, having to do it all by hand, you have to think things through that you wouldn't have to think through if you're actually just clicking on a chart on the computer.
Yeah, and I would say that that's your superpower, like the depth of the chart and the nuances that, you know, like I've sort of been learning with you for quite a while now, and I feel like I've just scratched the surface, and I'm always like, oh, when will I ever know what you know? Probably what, 15 years?
15 years, yeah. And you said, well, probably more now, but this is the thing also for me, I feel the same way. I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface. And I remember one of the things that I thought to myself way back then when I discovered, when I first started studying, maybe after a month or so, because I'm a voraciously curious person and I get bored with things really quickly. And I remember thinking, I am never going to get bored with this.
Yeah, so true. Me too. I must admit, it's almost like my guilty pleasure. Instead of sitting down watching something or whatever, if I get this some spare time, it's like, right, what can I read? Where can I go deeper? Because you can just dive so deep into the tiny nuances, can't you?
Yeah, and also there's so many things, especially with what I do with all the different layers and the asteroids and all that kind of stuff. There's so many places you can go with it as well. And one of the things I like to say to people who are studying now who feel a little bit like you're saying, you know, like, when am I ever going to learn this? And think about astrology. If astrology had only been around for 50 years, or I mean, we've had human design for less than 50 years. Imagine how exciting it would be to actually have this astrology tool and think, well, wow, we need to explore this. We've had thousands of years of people contributing to our understanding of astrology.
Yeah.
But you and I, and hi, everyone out there listening, we're all pioneers in human design.
Yeah. And I love, you know what, that's also just hit on something that I love about you as well, is that you see this as this big open opportunity for all of us to collaborate and work this thing out together. And this hasn't always been my experience with human design. So I think that's the other thing that really draws me to you, is this great like openness. Like, let's all do this. Let's all work it out together.
Yeah. And you know, because for me, it's really important that that exploration has some kind of rigor. It's got to be based in the reality, like I said, that technical underpinning of the chart, because there's math and science in the human design chart. It's not kind of, you know, what's the word, kind of, you know, spiritual mumbo jumbo. There's math and science in the structure of this chart, and we need to come from that place. I mean, the structure of the hexagrams, which make up the gates, it is exactly the same as the structure of Leibniz numbers that is used for computer.
The fractals or the...
Not fractals, there's 0101. I can't think of the name of it, but it's exactly the same structure as the kind of math that Leibniz, the mathematician, created, to which is then the basis of computer language.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's math and science in this chart. And so while it's important that we all put our interpretation into it and our experience into it and our inspired minds into it, we also need to stay grounded in the rigor of the chart as well.
Yeah, I so agree. I love that. And you say that a lot. Me being, you know, not being defined or being undefined in the root, I do tend to get excited by life. And you're so right. It's always that bringing it back and grounding it back into human design, into the science, I should say. And that's, again, I think that's also why I have been so attracted to the work that you do, is because it is grounded in the science. And don't get me wrong, I love a bit of woo, but for me to do my work, I really want to always be founded in science and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
Now, today,
sorry, Emma, can I just say as well is important, because it's a soft science as well.
Yeah.
And part of this whole thing, you know, we've had it for less than 50 years and we've got thousands of years to go. And, it, you know, look at one of the most, one of my favorite astrologers, Dane Rudger. I mean, he just channeled almost everything. He was like this amazing genius who channeled a whole lot of stuff around astrology. And so it's important. We have the science as well as the kind of soft science.
Yeah.
The consciousness side of it, where we actually bring through new knowledge and we could, but then it needs to be integrated, I think, into the correct structure. That's enough
love
on that.
No, but I love that. It's so good and spot on.
It's got to be balanced and left and right, male and female.
Exactly. I was about to
yin and yang.
Exactly. Now, today we're going to have a bit of a chat about what you actually just said as the core of human design. So I'll let you start. So tell us, what do you believe the core of human design is, Kim?
Look, I used to talk about it being decision-making, but I think, which kind of bored me. It's like, oh yeah, ho-hum. It didn't feel like my kind of juicy take on it. But I think right now, you know, we're actually transitional beings. We're actually in this process of bridging between the way humanity's been for thousands of years and where we're going. And I think where we're going quite quickly. And when I say quite quickly, still you and I and most of the people listening are just bridge people who are going to create the level of consciousness for something new that's coming that is really unrecognizable, I think, for us, almost unimaginable for us from here. And as part of that transition, what we are doing is bringing consciousness deeper and deeper and deeper into the cellular level of our physical body. So we're combining consciousness and materiality.
Absolutely. Far out. I love that.
What human design does is it literally shows for each person how to do that. It's actually a map for each individual person for how to do that.
Yeah.
And what it does is it shows us very precisely for each person how to give up struggling against our true nature and lessen resistance, how consciousness needs our body, what our body has been born to provide in terms of being a vessel for our consciousness to come into. So we're kind of doing it back to front where we think, I'm going to get conscious, and, you know, my body's going to come along with that. But instead, our body is actually the thing that says, I know the kind of vehicle you need for your consciousness to blossom in this lifetime.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that. And the thing that just stood out for me was to give up the struggle, you know. So resonate with this in my practice, with my clients, myself. Like, I've done the struggle, yeah? And I think what's so cool about what you said is it's like, I'm always talking or often talking about how we're constantly going external first. So we see people out there, we see experiences out there, we see things out there, and we're like, right, I'm going to try this. Like, we're trying on different clothes. Whereas the human design goes, it's really quite clear, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this, do this, and you will let go of the struggle. So it's that internal first and then external.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the 2946 channel in human design, that whole thing about like, okay, that other person's done that and it looked so easy and they succeeded. And so if I do it exactly like that, follow those steps, I'm going to get there. And one of the things that I'm always doing with people, and I'm sure you are too, is saying, they'll go, oh, I'm struggling like this. And I say, why, like the little Mexican girl in the ad, why not both? But why not just do it your way? And a lot of what I do is just giving people the courage and permission basically to do it their way, which is the easy way, the obvious way, the way that they kind of think, oh no, it can't be that easy.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to jump in on that because of all your years of experience and all your years of actually setting people free. I think what's so important about what you just said is that, and it came out of your mouth as such an obvious thing, but there are still so many people going, what do you mean I can just listen to myself and follow my own internal guidance? So over the
years.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Scary. I used to say this is not an evolution, it's a revolution. Like, this is an internal revolution. This is something that shakes up your entire life. And can I share a personal story?
Please.
So when I just around the time that I discovered human design, I had to leave a 20-year marriage because it was like completely wrong for me. And I also spent 2 years away from my children because actually I'm not sure if I had human design beforehand. I hope my children aren't listening, but they know I love them. They're in their 20s now. if I had human design before, I wouldn't have got married. I wouldn't possibly have had children. And so, like, these are the kinds of really huge, big realizations that people can have when they start to, it's a huge revolution. And one of the things that I think is really important is I always tell people, you don't have to take action on everything, but you just notice, you notice and you notice and you notice.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love that you said that because it's something I'm always sharing with the listeners and my clients is that pay attention, write it down, journal it. You know, if you're not quite ready to do whatever that extreme thing that your body's guiding you to do, don't freaking do it. Just write it down and pay attention.
Pay attention.
Start with this. Exactly. Start and small.
And everything is just panning out the way it is. And look, that for me, that was a pretty, I had a pretty extreme shift, but I'm a pretty extreme person anyway. And I always did the radical thing with this, and not everyone is going to be wanting to do that. And not everyone's going to suddenly look at their life and go, oh my God, my entire life is complete crap and I need to change it. That's not going to happen for everyone. But what I suggest that people do is that they honor the noticing. So you can say, and I tell people to do this, you say, oh, hello, you know, whatever, splenic response or emotional awareness or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Hello there, internal awareness. I hear what you've got to say. I'm really sorry, but I haven't got enough, you know, guts or courage, or the time's not right. It doesn't feel right for me, or I can't make myself do it now, whatever the reason. I'm really sorry that I can't do this right now, but I hear you.
Yeah.
So you honor that inner awareness.
I love
that. Despite the fact that you're not actually acting on it, because it means you're not pushing it down. You're not fighting against it. You're actually honoring it and seeing where you can gradually start to shift and do it gently.
I love that. And it's so aligned with another one of the tools that I give on my clients. And I've talked about it at length on the podcast. About using our journal as, you know, often as our friend. And we like, I will say, write it in your journal and ask it to hold on to it for you.
Yes.
You know, so that it literally gives the ego the opportunity to let go of it and sit it outside of you and see what comes of it. So
And wait for solutions to turn up, because they do. And simply, but I mean, there's so many more kind of subtle, you know, individual ways that we can work through this. This is very general, just that, you know, it could apply to everyone. But I think I'm a huge fan of doing things in a very gentle way. So I didn't want my example to be like,
I love that. I love that.
Extreme. But also I want people to know, like, sometimes people think it's always been easy for me too, but you know, it was a really big shift for me, but I dived right in because I just needed to, obviously.
Yeah. So tell me, or tell the listeners, if we're to give up the struggle, what are the first things we need to do in regards to our human design to getting, you know, giving up that struggle?
Well, I think the first thing to do is obviously to find out what your inner awareness is and how that operates for you. That's, you know, you've got to have that information. So what type you have, so that's usually the first thing people learn about in their human design is what their type is, and so how they're actually intended to respond to life and how life will respond to them. The second thing is that awareness is really important to me, because I think, you know, if you've got a defined solar plexus center and you're emotionally aware, the only thing you need to really know is give yourself more than enough time for every decision that you make, and that will completely change your life. It will completely, that one simple thing will change everything forever.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. I can absolutely vouch for that. And what the thing that I think's amazing now, and again, I've shared a lot on the podcast, is that, I mean, I always sleep on my big decisions and that sort of thing, but now I've really got the handle on my emotional wave and the how things work for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes me 5 seconds, like just 5 seconds, and I get that emotional clarity. But it's almost like now that I have given myself permission to wait for it, things really shift. And when, you know, and you've seen me, I'm the first one to be, you know, the second I'm jump out in of alignment with that, I'm like, yeah, let's go 3420. Yeah, yeah. I'm in. Nope. Hang on a second. And inevitably the moment I get back into that, it's like, oh, that just feels like, it just feels like
so calm. And the second thing is, first, people who have splenic awareness, that whole thing, you know, one of my exes I used to watch, I'd say, would you like to go to the movies? And I'd see this like, yay, in her eyes. And then like a minute, like, oh, well, I'm not sure that. And I go, no, you said, yeah, that was a yes. Because the spleen is existential, super fast, faster than thought, faster than speech. And what people have generally learned, whether it be taking time to get emotional awareness or trusting that first quick hit, what people have generally learned is to override that. Yeah. And so it's weird, but people who are emotionally aware tend to try to go faster, and people with a defined spleen try to go slower.
I better think it over. Yeah, we can vouch for that now, family, because Justin has splenic awareness.
Yeah.
And he's always like, his old way of being was very much slow down.
Yeah.
Take his time to work things out. He had to think it through. Whereas now he's really stepped into it. Now it's just like, boom, he just knows.
Yeah.
And it's been one of the absolute game changers for him, trusting it and acting on it. Just game changer.
Yeah, trusting that he can act on it. And I think this is the important thing, is that when we don't have to learn to be the person we're designed to be, we are that person already. It's really just like kind of washing the dust off the windscreen in a little bit.
Love that.
I say that because we're in Australia and we've had all that dust.
Yeah, exactly. Far out.
Our cars are filthy. But, you know, it is a bit like cleaning the windscreen so that we can actually go, oh, yeah, that's what my body, I knew that was what my body was telling me. I just learnt not to pay attention.
I love that metaphor. And I think that that's really powerful for everyone. That's why I just jumped in. Sorry to interrupt you, open throat. I shouldn't do that. Because I really just want to make a point that what you just said is so powerful. It's brushing the dust off who we already are. We have to stop trying to be someone that we're not.
That's right.
And human design gives us the map to brush the dust off and to, you know, be okay while we're still cleaning the freaking car, that we've got some sort of direction to head in.
What happens is that if we're not making decisions correctly as we're designed to, that means that we never actually know what's the right decision for us. And so our mind jumps in and goes, oh, well, let me figure it out. Oh, my God, they've left me in charge. Oh, no, I'm in charge. I don't actually have a clue. I can't make decisions, but it seems like they've left me in charge. Oh my goodness, what will we do? Oh, I know, someone else did that. I'm going to try. So that's what happens then in our heads, right? So our heads are going, like, doing all this berserk stuff. And then they're trying, you know, your mind's trying to be the best person it can be. But then what happens is when human design comes along and people say, oh, wow, that's me. And mind goes, now I have to try and be that person. So the mind is trying to be who you already are. And it just adds an additional layer of complication.
Absolutely. But yet the hardest thing is to let go, right?
Yeah. And then to actually get the difference between trying to be the person you're designed to be and just relaxing into the process of feeling what it's like to be that person.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So what's your advice for that person who is still trying to force themselves into their design? What's your advice that they, what can they do? How can they actually just relax into their design?
Well, generally speaking, because of course, you know, this is always the issue with human design, is that everyone's chart is different. And so, you know, you would say a different thing to each person. But generally speaking, I always say, you just said something about your superpower. My superpower is observation. Like, that's the one thing I tell people all the time. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to make any changes. All you have to do is observe. So if you know what your inner awareness is and how you're designed to make decisions, you can just observe what it feels like specifically in your body. And I'm a really big fan of that. It's, you know, the experience of what your actual physical felt sense is. How does it feel for you? How do you feel as you're going through your day? What feels good and what doesn't feel good? And I think to notice the places, it's a good question. I'm just trying to find the quickest route to get, you know, something that's really succinct. Find the places where you are successful in feeling good, where you have trusted, where you have listened to whatever that awareness is, where you have taken more time for your emotions, or you have trusted that quick existential hit from your spleen or whatever it is, your gut, your sacral response. Observe the places where you have succeeded and you've had a good response. And what you're doing is, it's kind of like you're building a memory, a muscle memory that builds trust over time. And it does take time, but that's basically, I think, what you're doing. It's kind of building a cellular memory of trust in the process.
I love that, and I absolutely love that, because it's so aligned again to all the work that that I do, that I share here. And it's all about, you know, from an NLP point of view, it's restoring deletions, you know, it's restoring that information that at some point our brain has gone, oh, I don't need that, so I'm just going to get rid of it. Mm. And actually, it's the most important information. It's how our physical body and how our internal guidance system is responding. And I think that that's incredibly powerful. Just observe, notice, don't try and do anything or be someone new. Just allow yourself to show up, you know, a little bit at a time.
Yeah. And there's a kind of, I suppose, embodied mindfulness in that process of just paying attention to ourselves. But in our culture, our awareness is so, as you said, so external all the time, that we have learned very much to take our cues from out there and to start taking our cues from inside. Like even things like, you know, the alarm goes off in the morning, you get up, rather than saying, well, gee, what's my body feeling? One of the exercises I give people is to give themselves certain periods of time. So it could be a whole day, which would be pretty hard, but to start with maybe an hour where you don't do anything, you just let your body do whatever it wants.
Yeah, wow.
Oh my God. I love that exercise.
Instantly just triggered my ego, I've got to tell you. Like, I'm sign me up, I'm doing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, it's a really strange thing to do. But you know, when I first started working with human design, I was living out, way out in the bush, like miles from anywhere, in a little cottage by myself out in the bush. And I lived like that for a few years. I had no need to do anything and I just played with human design. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And that set something in place for me that's lasted me ever since.
Yeah. And I just want to share with my listeners as well, because a lot of them are, you know, traversing the corporate world into something that's more aligned. I just wanted to share that part of your story. Like your first incarnation was a lawyer, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the last thing I did, I had my own legal practice down in Wollongong, and loved it. I loved being a lawyer. I was a litigation lawyer. I used to go into court and flap my long hair around like Marsha from the Brady.
Love it.
And yeah, I really loved it. But then I got really, really sick, and it was probably about 8 years after I got really sick that I found human design. And I hadn't been able to figure out what's the missing piece. There's some reason why I haven't been able to pull myself back together again. And then when I discovered human design, just the sacral response, living in response, not initiating, and the solar plexus center awareness, taking time to make decisions, those two things, they just made the most immense difference.
Yeah.
I let things unravel. Things were so tightly wound up in me. I was trying to control them all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, if I can get more control, I'll figure this out, you know, I'll make things right. And what I did was the opposite then. And everything just took on its own shape and form, and I could relax and be myself.
Oh my God, that is awesome. We're going to have to finish this episode here, because I think that is so aligned with so many people that listen to this, that I think often people think that bringing things like human design into your world means that you have to give up life as we know it. And it's not about that at all. It's about integration and really following who you really are.
It will lead you to the right place. But as I said, I'm a big fan of the gentle, and I'm a big fan of doing things at your own pace.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. Mm. Well, Kim, thank you so much for joining me today. And it's going to be the first of many. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm sure all the listeners are too. Thanks so much for being here.
No, it's my pleasure, Emma. Ah. And it's so fun to talk about this stuff always.
Mm. Oh, isn't it? My goodness. I could literally just talk to you all day long. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to being with you on the next podcast, and Kim will be with us again soon, won't you, Kim? Yes.
Yes, I muted myself.
Love it. Okay.
Yes, I will.
And remember, everybody, to be you, back you, and love you. Bye for now.
Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, Could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.